Heavenly Father, we ask your Spirit here to teach us, fill us, guide us in your word and then in life, which is you. Amen. I'll turn back again to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12, we left off. We were speaking in verse 10. We had spoken about the effecting of miracles, and we had been speaking about prophecy, and so we're almost finished with this list. We did cover prophecy, right? Pretty much? Yeah, okay. And let's go on into the next one, the distinguishing of spirits. That, I guess, can be thought of in a number of different ways. Some people think it's just the understanding of evil and good spirits and this kind of thing. And that you see in Scripture. Jesus speaking, and I know it's not in all the older texts, but the young man where he says, this kind only comes out by much prayer and fasting. He's speaking of something, this kind. Wait, hey, there are different types of spirits. And it could be that the distinguishing, and can be used in that way, the distinguishing of different types of evil spirits. Now, one of the problems that comes with that is that pretty soon somebody is writing, and we've seen them, this thick, books on, here's the name of this one, here's the name of that one, all of this stuff that's just made up. And that it could be that there are could be that the enemy is has spirits that do those particular things, but what are you doing studying and stopping and let's give them a name? That's kind of a little bit too much attention to me, for my taste anyway. And I don't think that we're supposed to go into it in that depth. We're supposed to be understanding of his devices, not intimate friends with his minions, and that I know all of their names, that will mess you up badly. There are, I think, perhaps you can, in the distinguishing of spirits, you may, just like Jesus did, he distinguished that particular one. Remember, he's speaking one time to James and John, those two quiet, loving boys. Do you want us to call fire down out of heaven and just kill them all? You do not know what spirit you are of. There's the time he's looking at Peter, sweet, kind Peter, and he says, get behind me, Satan. You see, he's speaking about understanding the spirit that somebody is of. And I think in many ways, this is, again, something that Mrs. Davis and I walk in fairly strongly. But that is not necessarily the distinguishing of evil spirits. Oh, this person has got that critter and that critter. I don't think the Lord is actually that much interested in us knowing that kind of thing. Why? Because his authority, his name, that's the name you need to know. Not this other stuff. If it comes out by much prayer and fasting, then it might be a good idea for you to be praying and fasting. Long before you get to it. So remember, when Jesus met it, he already knew. Okay, he knew that's what this kind is, but he had already prayed, he'd already fasted. So, in case you meet one of those critters, you need to be praying and fasting, which is something you were supposed to be doing anyway. So just do it. You may see it. The enemy may struggle with you on those things. Well, but you still have the name. And that's the name that you need to know. But as I said, Mrs. Davis and I are used in this. And I think, at least the way that it expresses itself with us, is that we know people. We know it's just sometimes kind of weird. You could call it, some people might go, oh, that's a word of knowledge. But it's different. It's not like that at all. But if it's a word of knowledge, the problem is it's usually attached to a person, and it's more than a word, it's a paragraph, and then another paragraph, and another paragraph. One of the early I.M. Iyers first met me, thought, well, what have I gotten myself into? We wound up having to, because it was, like I said, the very first semester, and he kind of looked at me like, well, what am I going to do with this? Oh, my, you know, here I am, stuck in Texas with this strange-looking person. And he said, about 2 hours later, he was absolutely petrified, because he said it was like I was staring right through him. And he suddenly realized that he felt exposed. Oh, my goodness, everything inside me, he sees, he knows. That was simply not true. It wasn't, but he thought it was. Was there a lot being exposed? Yes. Mm-hmm. But God has a purpose in exposing. It's not for, you know, perhaps God let him feel exposed for a reason. To put the fear of God and the fear of IMI, the fear of Dr. Davis in him. Who knows? But I wasn't exposing anything. I wasn't rebuking him out loud. I wasn't doing anything like that. We were just having conversation. And I think probably the way the conversation went is that he didn't know what to expect. And the Lord would speak simply words of wisdom or words of knowledge, words that connected things together in his mind. And he was going, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with this? This person knows everything about me. I did not. I was simply speaking. The Holy Spirit was just speaking. And in the distinguishing of spirits, distinguishing of spirits of people, I think of places, of the times, often. And often it is things that may be coming up, but it's often for us mostly with people. As you can imagine, this is advantageous. When you're counseling, the person comes in and, I mean, there's times they barely have to start talking. Deep, deep problems. And within 60 seconds, God has told us, this is what's going on. This is where you're going to wind up going to. And it's pretty fascinating. Then you have to kind of quietly watch the Holy Spirit get it there. But you already know where you're going. There have been times where Mrs. Davis and I went in, sat down, and the person start talking, and it's like, okay, we're going to be here a while as that person is talking. There's not any reason for you to talk at all. We know where we're going with the end game even. You know, what's going to be the final thing, what we're going to ask them to do. But they have to get comfortable with that. Whether you know it or not, the point is that the only reason you know it is because the Holy Spirit wants you to know it. And you need to for His kingdom. His kingdom specifically in that person. Often in the distinguishing spirits is areas where they don't have Jesus Christ as the King. It's a particular area. And their spirit is of. And you know what they're thinking. You know often what they're going to say. And so some of that is the word of knowledge, I understand. But the distinguishing spirits is knowing the person almost. It's just so quick. But it is not for, oh, wow, ain't I cool, I know all of this, because it's not that way. You don't think of it that way. Honestly, when we meet people, and I know Mr. Davis this way, you don't think of it. A lot of people would think, oh, you have just been given a lot of information about me, the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's not telling me, you know, how many what kind of the amount of change is in your pockets and stuff like that. You know, that's goofy from the enemy. But things about you and who you are, you can see instantly the pain. You know what maybe the person has dealt with and who has dealt it out to them. All those things like that. That's got nothing to do with I want to expose you. It's got nothing to do with wow, I've got power over you because I know things. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ loves you. And you came to talk to the Davises, or you happened to pass by the Davises, or whatever it may be, and we sense and know that, but it's for His kingdom purpose. Ms. Davis, anything on that? Does this make sense to you guys? I mean, all of you probably have had similar things, word of knowledge, I'm sure words of wisdom, and then the distinguishing of spirits actually happens. That, oh, wow, what is this about? And you know things about the person. You can sense the way that they are, how they react, and sometimes whether they're evil or, wait, this is somebody that's really good. You know, you just want to be around them because your spirit, oh, that feels good. Any questions on this before we go on? This is one, yeah.
Could it also be said as kind of like a distinguishing, like attitudes almost?
Oh, yeah. You'll see that without them even bringing it up. And when it comes up, you're not surprised at all. You know, oh, yeah, well, you knew that was coming. And it's real funny because you know it's coming. So, yeah. Attitudes is one of the things that you see. Yeah. Without them saying it. Anyone else on this? Sir?
Could it possibly be that in Matthew 17:21, where it says, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting, could that be... it's not talking about the demon or the type of demon, but the unbelief, because in context, it's the unbelief that is keeping the demon from, like, you know, and I guess the reason, but it really doesn't matter in the long run, because we're supposed to be praying and fasting anyways. But I was just like, and two, this is not even in some of the old manuscripts.
Right.
Yeah, and so it was just, but Andrew Womack kind of pointed that out and sees he thought that.
Yeah. I mean, you may well be right.
Yeah. Unbelief is combated by belief, I think. And so I don't know about the prayer and fasting, but, you know, if he wants to believe that, well, that's who am I to argue with Andrew Womack coming here? Ms. Davis, were you about to add something in there? Thank you, Nate. Anyone else on this? Yes, ma'am.
So this gift is mostly just for prayer, then?
I think that is one of the biggest things in it, prayer and counsel. How to put this? Yeah. Jesus walked in authority, but there were places that he restricted his own jurisdictions. Mrs. Davis and I, maybe with you guys, it's going to be, this will make you even more scared, stronger than with somebody. Why? You are our jurisdiction. Not for lording it over, but for watching of the souls and for prayer. And so we don't necessarily have to sit down with you and say, okay, what are you thinking when we're praying for you? Sorry. We don't have to. The Lord, this is what's going on with the person, okay? And it's not a judgmental thing. It's so hard to express the way that this acts because of the Holy Spirit in your life. You never think about looking down on the person. You may see all sorts, and it never crosses your mind. It's not there. You really do perceive a lot, and you don't think bad thoughts about the person. You don't. That's not what it's about. It's, wait a second, the power of God is there to help that. his love and the desire is that the person come to him and the truth, that the truth bring freedom to people. So it's used extensively for prayer, yes. Anyone else? Sir?
I just looked at this word discerning, and the word discerning and used in discerning spirits, and it came from Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just showing, you know, you got to have the ultimate, well, I guess as Adam put it before, you know, I kind of had it as a thought to kind of go to I am I. You know, go to the how I am I is, that's where I'm going to be. And it's kind of like, Adam was like, no, you got to see the Lord in the full and where he wants to take you. You know, you're going to, everybody's going to pass I am I. And he's like, you know, you're supposed to be brought past that point. This is just to, you know, I guess kind of introduce you to the Lord. But anyway, yeah, just, again, just a strong meat, you know, that's where he wants us to go. And he wants us to just submit ourselves.
That is one of the deepest desires that we have for you guys, is that you are able to discern, that you're walking, understanding and walking with the Lord. And you're able to handle strong stuff. That's why there's so few people here. I mean, you know, we've warned you before. You can't go walking out of here and say a lot of this stuff. Oh my goodness, some of the things that people have gone back and told their parents and told their friends. And we've told them, don't do it. Well, you know, I'm not supposed to tell my parents. We can't say that. But no, you know, it's not that there's anything, no one's trying to hide anything. It's just what happens. You walk up to this person that's not been here, that is not hearing this stuff, that is 6 weeks old, has no teeth, and you hand them a big chunk of steak that hadn't been tenderized. And what do? They gag on you. And then you're surprised. Where did that come from? We told you. You don't go cramming that down their throat. And then they thrup on you. Throw up. And you're shocked. How did that happen? You gave them meat, and they were not ready, and they can't handle it. You've got to be, I'm serious. Now, Jesus said, do not cast your pearls before swine. He wasn't calling people pigs. Do not give what is holy to dogs. He wasn't concerned about Luther. Maybe Martin Luther, but what's he talking about? Be careful who you're talking. I mean, Scripture is real clear about it. It is. Be careful who you're talking to. Be careful who you have as company, companions, all of these kind of things. And there are some people, and again, discernment of spirits, you need to discern who you're talking to. Can they handle this? A lot of people cannot. That's why our friend Garrett, a year ago, something like that, maybe 2 years, get this call or email or something. I think it was an email. I couldn't believe it. Hey, Dr. D, I'm wanting to teach covenant to my church. How do I go about it? Very, very, very slowly. My goodness. How often does he have these people? 2 times a week at the most, for between 20 and 30 minutes. And you're going to teach them to understand blood covenant? We had a long conversation after I got him off the internet thing, and we're going to have to talk. And I began to explain, and he was going, oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. But he still went ahead and did it, which was a very good thing. But he did it very slowly.
Now, you know what? He's been with that church for 2 or 3 years now, and I'll bet there's some people there that are eating meat now. But it's not everybody. Gordon has a Monday morning Bible study that he says that is what keeps him going. Between 10 and 15 people show up out of the whole church. 10, 15 people show up for this Bible study, and they get with it. They get down into Scripture, and Gordon loves teaching Scripture, and that is what keeps him going. Those people can handle meat. You walk in on Sunday morning, and you start throwing them, you know, and all you're going to be doing is having a food fight. They can't handle it. They cannot swallow it, cannot chew it up. Please be careful what you say to people. Yeah. Anyone else? Davis, anything else?
It's just learning to hear the Lord.
Yeah.
And whether, because you can still have them gnash their teeth at you. It's not for them to be accepting of what you say.
Or
you. Are we waiting on the Lord and listening to Him? That's what this is about, being filled with the Spirit so that when we speak, it's His Spirit speaking. And not, and He'll know what needs to be said. I remember the testimony of watching an Indian in this house of two, it sounded like maybe middle-aged, non-believers, and he waited, I think he was there a week or two, and praying and waiting before he shared the gospel with them.
Yes.
And then he made sure that they knew that the resident boss had come to live within them. And so, you know, it's praying and waiting, but it's still, it's all going back to being led by the Spirit. Yeah, because it's not that you're wanting to be accepted, the response to be pleasing to man. It's, am I saying what God wants me to say now? Does He want me to say anything? And Stephen was saying exactly what God was saying through him, and it resulted in his death. So it's learning to walk by the Spirit, not look at it in our natural eyes, but hear what the Lord is saying to us and whether we're to say anything or not.
Right. Yeah. Which we're going to get around to in just a little bit here. Anything else on the distinguishing spirits before we go on? Everybody good with this? All right. Distinguishing spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. The word various is thrown into the text, not necessarily there. To another, kinds of tongues. This would be a person that is used, and I would think the way that it's talking about here, remember, all of these gifts that we've talked about, it's somebody winds up getting used in that fairly frequently. In other words, we're used in distinguishing the spirits. We're used in words of wisdom, words of knowledge, fairly frequently. And that's a gift that the Lord flows through us. This person that he's talking about here is somebody that, on a fairly regular basis, I would think, speaks in tongues. Now, we are talking about this in some ways in a meeting, okay? But it's not necessarily so. Let's go with 2 or 3 people, and you're having a conversation. Why does it have to be in, oh, we're having a formal meeting? And no, it could be that the Lord does begin to speak to you when you people are just hanging around and you're talking about the Word, and the Lord is being lifted up, and you have a message in tongues. Even with that, you must know that there is someone that has the next gift there, or you also have that gift. Now, if you pray in tongues, if you're somebody that prays in tongues, Paul exhorts us. We've talked about that already. Pray for understanding. And with this gift of speaking in tongues, we've already covered it. We can think about it again. Number one, is we see tongues used there in the second chapter of Acts to speak the mighty deeds of God in other languages. I heard a testimony from a man that he said this happened to him. I didn't see the fellow. It was on a recording. And he said he was walking along the street in some city somewhere. And he was someone that spoke in tongues. And he said, I was walking along, and somebody, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, walk up to that man over there and say what I tell you to say. Okay. And he said, I walked up to him, and all of a sudden I realized God wanted me to speak in tongues. I mean, where do you go to hide? You know, are you going to obey it? Are you going to, you better be practicing, you know. What are you doing? Practicing speaking in tongues. You know, you better be practicing listening well. And the guy was bold enough to do it. And he looked at the guy and he just took off. And the guy said something back to him. And the guy said, I don't speak whatever you're speaking. And the guy turned out that he was able to speak English. And he said, well, you just told me that Jesus Christ is Messiah. And I forgot what weird language it was. And the guy was sitting there. And what happened? He just spoke the gospel to that man. And it was, the fellow was Jewish, if I remember right, the man being spoken to. And suddenly, in whatever language, maybe it was Hebrew or whatever, the fellow is hearing, Jesus really is the Messiah. He's the Messiah for the Jews and the Gentiles. You're not looking at it right. And the gospel was right there. And this poor guy's, and it was exactly what needed to happen. Okay? Now, that takes a bit of boldness. We can tell you stories about prophets and some other people that we knew and some of the things that they did that were just, you're just going, oh, my goodness, did they really? Yes, they did. Oh, we've not been thrown into situations quite that bad of standing up and blurting out things in church and stuff, praise God, although it could easily happen. That, you know, people beg to not go to church with the Davises. Can we please not go? I don't know. Who knows what the Lord may do, but it wouldn't be out of order now. See, it wouldn't be out of order. So there are the tongues that we see from the second chapter of Acts where they are speaking in a, if I speak with the tongues of men, speaking with the tongues of men, and the tongues of men to speak the mighty acts of God, the truth, all sorts of different things. We also saw there is a speaking of tongues plus interpretation, which now equals, remember, prophecy greater than tongues, but now it's kind of equal. At least it gets out to the same thing, tongues plus interpretation. The interpretation, now the person understands. We also saw praying in tongues, the prayer language, as a lot of people say, that you pray in the Spirit. But you can also pray in the Spirit in the language that you speak, your native tongue. Paul also asks that we do pray that way, in the Spirit. Remember, understanding is by the Spirit. And so, he wants you to pray with the Spirit and with understanding. Okay? And so, there are the at least three. There may be other ways of incidences of tongues. That's the ones that are the most common. Always best if there is interpretation. However, not required if it is a prayer language and you are not trying to give a message. If you are giving a tongue and you do not know that, oh, so-and-so's got the gift of interpretation, or you have the gift of interpretation, I think the scripture is pretty plain. You are to be quiet. You are not supposed to say anything. That tongue is, it's not for now, it's not, it may be for later, but it's got to be when that criteria is met. We saw that in Scripture. And so one of the things with tongues, and of course Paul is trying to do this one thing, get it in order. Quit making it, quit exalting it. And of course he wound up in all these chapters on what? Tongues. And the fight in churches, between denominations. It's about tongues. And why? Because one group has exalted it way far beyond what it should be exalted, according to Paul. And the other group has done what? Exactly what he said also not to do. Do not forbid to speak in tongues. And yet a whole lot of churches do that. They have to believe in dispensationalism. So they bring it about so that they can go, that part of Scripture, this is sick, is not true for us. So there's tongues. Again, interpretation, we've already talked about that some. Tongues, or the interpretation of tongues, is not translation. It often will be brought back. The tongues may go on quite some time, but the interpretation is going to be much shorter. 5 pages, 1 paragraph. Well, it's an interpretation. What's the word I'm looking for? Just a synopsis more often, rather than, okay, I'm trying to give this translation. It's oh, wait, this is what this person is saying. And the interpreter would just simply go, this is what the Lord is saying to us through this person. But for whatever reason, God wanted to use a tongue. Why would he do such a thing? Why?
Get their attention.
I mean, if you've not been around it, it freaks you out. We told you about the pastor that he's standing up, and he said, I'm about to do something. And, please just listen. And he began to talk right out loud there in front of everybody. And what he was doing was praying in tongues. He was not, I'm not going to be giving a message in tongues, but he began to speak in tongues. And everybody, boy, it got quiet. This is in a, quote, charismatic church. Not terribly charismatic, but there was at least that belief. And because a whole lot of people probably never heard it before. And he said, did you notice the increase in the spiritual temperature immediately? And everybody, yeah, the second thing, it got their attention. It got their attention, and there's something about it. Wait a second, the Spirit's moving. This is out of the ordinary, a miracle type thing. Come on. Do you constantly need words of wisdom? No, only when you need wisdom. Do you constantly need all of these other gifts? But, I'm going to affect a miracle here. I'm going to change that table into a miniature poodle that has ears. Not deaf. And what for? You understand? But tongues, there's something about it that makes people sit up and listen. And now when the interpretation comes, they're leaning forward. But prophecy is greater than that because it's a straightforward message with understanding. Other questions or comments on this? Yes?
So does this, because it's kind of tongues, does this include tongues of men praying in tongues? Or is this specifically like when you're together in a group and a gift is given in kind of tongues? Like, is this conglomerating all of the tongues together, the different kinds that you can have, or is this specific? Understand what I'm asking?
I don't understand at all.
What I was doing in the last 5-10 minutes or so was going, okay, here's tongues for, and here's the different kinds. There was three, I think there's 3 or 4 of them, but I try it again what you're saying.
I don't understand.
I think you answered my question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I was talking about all the different kinds. First, there is, for people to understand, the tongues of men. Then there is the praying in tongues and perhaps a message given in tongues with interpretation. Okay? Anyone else?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, we just... on the interpretation of tongues in 14, verse 19, however, in the church I desire to speak 5 words with my mind so that I may instruct others also, rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. And it seems to reinforce that it's interpretation, not translation.
Yeah.
Understanding. And it could you may wind up with a very short message in tongues, but boy, here it comes, and all of a sudden, guess what? Guess what the Spirit will do in a case like that? The person will get up and maybe start interpreting, but all of a sudden the spirit of prophecy takes over. Boom! And it's no longer just a short paragraph. It's 3 hours. Okay? You know, because the Lord is instructing. But it started out with the miraculous point of here was tongues. Okay? Yeah. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I have two questions, actually. But if you have, I guess the person who has interpretation would know it, I think. Would God reveal that to them if you have the interpretation of the tongues?
I would hope so.
Okay. Because,
I'm not going to tell you that you do.
it's no different than you just suddenly know something.
The Holy Spirit speaks to you, you know it. It's not.
You just know it. Oh my goodness. This is what's being said here. Okay?
So the person speaking in tongues, we're not really supposed to speak the tongue if there's not an interpretation. How do you know the people who have the interpretation? Does God tell you? Do they tell you?
No, that's the point. Therein lies the rub. This is supposed to be under some sort of control, and Paul was bringing this up because it was not.
And if the answer to the question is on in chapter, goes on into 14. We looked at it before. Let's go down. Where was I? I was just looking. Verse 27 in chapter 14. If anyone speaks in a tongue, by two or three at the most, and each in turn let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, listen, look at what it just said. If there's not a plumber, don't do the plumbing today. Oh, okay. If there's not an interpreter, you should be, I think what he's saying is, you're fairly familiar with the body that you're in. You're not just bopping in off the streets and deciding that in First Baptist, you're going to begin speaking in tongues. You don't know. It's almost like this person, that's their occupation, if you want to put it that way. There is an interpreter that's there. Oh, wait, that person has the gift of interpretation. Oh, okay. And you eventually, especially if it's a small group of people like this, you know that person has that. Okay? Does that answer the question?
I think so, or give me something to think on.
Okay.
The other thing is, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, is, what is the tongue of angels?
My assumption is that it's tongues of angels. We look in Revelation, I find this so cool. Where God says, now measure it off, it's going to be this many cubits. Oh, and by the way, the cubit is the same cubit for a man as it is for an angel. It's also angelic measurements. I mean, that's, when you think about that, I remember looking at it not too long ago thinking, that is fantastic. The authority that God has given to man, that even angels would measure things by an 18-inch measurement, by the forearm of, not an angel, the forearm of man. One of the problems is because some of those angels are really big and others are, no, I don't know. They're little cherubs that just, oh. But this is a cubit is, and it goes over to angels too. Now, I would clearly think that, well, wait a second, perhaps there is an angelic language. Now, we've got to realize that these beings are ancient. We do not know. None of us know. We don't know if we were to look at years, because they weren't measuring it in that eternal past. how old are angels? How, you know, is there, well, there's not an age. That's right, they're ageless. And their intellect, if we were to think about that, what would their intellect be like? What is their power autonomously? The power that Satan had, and I should say had, but has, he's been bound. But what he's lost is authority, and we have been able to bind his power because of Jesus' defeat of him through mighty power. But remember, Michael looked at him and did not in any way argue about the, if there was an argument going on, but he didn't say, come on, I'm taking you on straight on. He could have done it, I'll bet, but who knows what kind of fight was going to be going on. And instead, he brought out the name of the Lord. The Lord rebuke you in the arguing over the body of Moses. Who's going to bury him? Satan was demanding, I get right to him. I've been trying to get to him for a while. You know, and I've got that right. And evidently, God and Michael thought differently. And they're over a physical body. This is a dead person. And so there was an argument over this. But this angel, and remember how I put it, much mightier in power than you. Isn't that the way it put it specifically there? Is it in James, that right? No, is that Hebrew? Well, what? Jude. James, what in the world was I thinking? All these brothers, they all look the same. Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment and said, the Lord rebuke you. But these men revile the things which they do not understand. And the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these they are destroyed. Where is the... But it says angels much greater. 2 Peter 2:11, what does it say?
Angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord.
Thank you. 2 Peter what?
2:11.
Now, I'm telling you what, folks, this is almost like, if you ever look at chapter 2, it is almost like, okay, it's the book of Jude. And now, you've got to stop. How many other things do you know in Scripture that are repeated like that? You know, you need, wait a second, what's it talking about? Daring, look in verse 10. Now, let's go up, we're going to start in verse 9. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation, to keep the unrighteous under, this is interesting, punishment, for the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority. If you're not scared, get that way. Daring, self-willed. They do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. This is repeated. This is in here twice now. What are we going to do with it? Whereas angels, who are greater in might and power, do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. My. It's telling us a lot about angels, just in a real quick. Greater in might and power than these rebels. These, like unreasoning animals born of creatures of instinct, to be captured, killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures, also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. Anyway, we could go on and really get with it in 2 Peter and be here for 4 or 5 more hours. Angels, the reason I bring it up, because angels are ancient and they are mighty and they are great in intellect. And Satan, your enemy, is one of them. What are you thinking that you're going to take him on in your own power and in your own flesh? You better run into the mighty tower of God. And I also bring it up. Guess what? I heard somebody, it was so stupid. I could not believe this fool. It was a psychologist or some humanist talking and poo-pieing demons. Oh, these stupid Christians are believing in demons. That mental illness, and I do not believe all mental illness is demonic, but some of it is. These people obviously have demons. I've met at least one, and probably others, but one that you knew. Ooh, this person has really got it. This, whoever it was, these, and they act like these demons somehow are crossing language barriers. Yeah, I sat and went, you are really dumb. You, how stupid are you? The demon is sitting here listening, wherever they are, to language changing. They watch where we go. You're born and language has been formed around you, and words change in their meanings and things as you go through your life. But you look it up the etymology in a dictionary, and 200 years ago this word meant this, but now it's come to mean that. We sit and look in a book and go, oh, that's where it came from in a snapshot. That demon is sitting there going, and experiencing the change of the language as it goes along. And this fruitcake is going, oh, oh. And so now this demon speaks English, and they used to speak French, and yeah. And the angels the same way, the dark and light angels, yes. What are you thinking? But this person, they're so naturalistic, they can't imagine that a spiritual being would be smart enough to speak more than one language. Wow, a bilingual angel. Brother, what arrogance. I think maybe we just read about them there in 2 Peter. Daring, self-willed, they revile, oh my goodness, everything about the arrogance of the whole thing and out from under authority and just, oh, what was it? Jude said, the mockers will come with their mocking. Ungodly men with their ungodly ways. Ungodly. Okay, Jude, go. This is Jesus' bro, his half-brother, making up for time when he didn't believe him when he was on earth. Angels, I think that there may be an angelic tongue that they speak. Evidently, there must be something along those ways, or maybe Paul is just using it rhetorically, I don't know. But they certainly speak the tongues of men, angels do, but I think that they also speak, there may be a heavenly language. Perhaps it's Hebrew, I don't know.
Because it really sounds here like he's saying, if I speak with the tongue of men and angels, and so I don't know if this is very far out there, but I was wondering, could speaking, could prophecy be the speaking with tongues of men, as in our own, we're speaking God's truth, he's speaking his truth, through our own language.
Native language.
And native language, thank you. And then, could the speaking with angels' tongue actually be speaking in tongues? Like, could that be what that is?
Well, that may be what he's talking about, sure, it could be.
I mean, what he's saying is it doesn't matter what language that you're talking in. The biggest thing is if you do it and you do not have love, you have become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. That's what the whole thing, that his concern is. It doesn't matter what you're speaking in. And he brings in the angelic language, whether there's one or not, is to say it doesn't matter how high up you may think you are and how cool you are in the Corinthian church. You know, how many stripes you have on your robe showing how many times you've spoken in tongues here lately. If you have love, we hear you clanging as you walk by. And that's what his concern is. So to figure it out to that point, I don't know. We're not given enough information to know all that.
I guess I'm asking is, could speaking in tongues actually just be, because it's foreign, like no one knows what it is.
Maybe.
Could it be angels? Because
could you be speaking an angelic language?
Yeah, could, yes, yeah, sure. Because
Who knows?
If you're not speaking in love, it's not edifying the body, because mm-hmm. we've talked about it. If there's not an interpretation, that's not in love. So yeah. I don't know. I'm
and it could be, right, yeah. And if you're speaking it to yourself in a prayer language, it could be that the language is that, but we don't know. I mean, God may have you speaking in, you know, Turkish. And to where you're, yeah, you, but you don't know what it is. You don't know. You are, if you do not have the interpretation of it, you're not speaking with or praying and understanding. Okay? You're not. Whether it's an angelic or whether it is the tongues of men, the love is the point and edification of the body, and that's why he puts that in the middle. You had your hand up?
Yeah. I was wondering where the gift of, or I'm not sure if it is a gift specifically, but interpretation of dreams. Is that mentioned somewhere, or could
not
it
in
kind of...
Not in this. It's,
we see it mentioned with Daniel. Hey, he's got this, but if you notice what they say of him, how do they put it? The spirits, I think is the way they put it, the spirits of the gods are upon him. No, just one God, maybe multiple spirits, because we know there's seven of Yahweh. Jesus had them all of them. But I don't know of any place where it says, and at least in the New Testament, someone that interprets dreams. So I don't know where in the world, where that one would fit in, perhaps as a word of knowledge. As I've talked to you guys about before, it's one of the weird things that I walk in at different times. And I sit when the person is saying this, and I sometimes I often think, surely they see this. This is so open, easy to see. And I suddenly realize, no, they don't. It really is something that you just simply see. Oh, this happened. And you're like, whoa. And of course, I don't have the Daniel stripes. Oh, I'll tell you what you dreamed. Dare to be a Daniel, I'd pass out with that kind of. But I don't see it listed anywhere with a definition around it or anything like that. That I know. Do you know of one, Mrs. Davis? It's just that you see it with Daniel and Joseph, right? Yeah, Joseph too. You know, oh King, that it were not so. Yeah. It's there, but not brought up like that. It's not brought up in these particular. That's why this is a limited list, but it's one that a lot of people look at, and it's one that we need to talk about. We're about to go to another list. Other questions? Yes.
You were saying that you're not supposed to speak in tongues unless you know that there is an interpreter.
Publicly.
With the example that you gave of where God said, go and speak to this man, did he know that he would be speaking?
This, again,
remember the different manifestations and uses of them. When I'm talking about you, if you are in a meeting of believers and you speak without an interpreter, the meeting of believers is for the edification of believers. What he was being used in is what we looked at as the very first example of speaking in tongues that we see historically, Acts chapter 2. These people are up there speaking. I wonder if he didn't do something to their ears too, if you want to know the truth. I think we hear it in our own language, and they start listing off all these people and people groups and everything. And of course, we know there were probably 120 in the upper room. But boy, there were a lot of people groups there. But they were all hearing it and hearing the mighty deeds of God being spoken in their own language. That is a different type of manifestation. So it did not require an interpreter. Although, guess what?
There was an interpreter. The poor guy just didn't know he was headed for that. Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Davis? Anyone else? Sir?
With the kinds of tongues, could that be just speaking in one tongue or having different tongues?
It could be various. There's a fellow, I don't know if y'all saw him,
he had the gift of various tongues. I don't know, did anybody ever see that guy or whatever? He looked like somebody from the NFL. He was a big black man. He was big too. From the stage. And the guy was very exuberant too. And he would just, you talk about praying in tongues, but what the thing with him, this was real different than anything, but it was miraculous. No matter what you want to call it, it was miraculous. This man could, the way that they said it was, someone could start teaching him a language. He could be around a language, a physical human language. And a strong believer, obviously a strong Christian, and this gift was given to him. He could pick it up. He could read it. And it was just stepping into it. You and I take 4 or 5 years. He takes 4 or 5 minutes type thing, you know. And there, he starts speaking in that language. And he stood up in front of, and he was praying. We're going to let him pray. Oh, my goodness. You know, it was the second chapter of Acts. If there was anyone there who didn't understand anything, they understood it by the time he was through. I mean, he went through it. He could learn languages just like that. It was amazing. Now, I'm exaggerating about the few minutes, but where you and I would pick up a Greek textbook and it would take us a year to go through it, he literally could just kind of read the thing and boom, 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 and he had it down. He understood or could listen to the language, and this is what this, and he just had the gift of it just went in there. It would have driven me absolutely insane. When you really start learning a language, you start thinking in it, and it messes with your mind. Doesn't it, Johnny? Do you ever start thinking in Greek sometimes? Not yet. It's coming. It's coming as you stay in it, and you begin to speak it, thinking it, and you know, and rolling it over in your mind, and. I was taking German at one time. My dad had, honestly, he had this, he had a capacity for languages that was amazing. He went to seminary. Greek and Hebrew was just, it was just nothing to him. No problem. Boom. He just tore it up. When he was in the service, occupation troops, war wasn't over. He went over in World War II. Didn't have to see combat. He got there after everything, but his job was there in Germany and Czechoslovakia. And, in a few months of being over there, he could speak German and Czech, and he just picked it up. He was one of those people that had that, and he would think in the language, and guess what? I found out later on, I'm taking German. And it was messing with my mind in a lot of other studies, because I would be looking, I mean, I'm suddenly over in biology and my brain is shifting it over into German, and I really didn't like that. It was a weird feeling. But when you're really learning the language, that's what happens. And then you don't even think about it. It just comes out. You watch. You're going to get weird on this, Johnny. Oh, wait, you are? No, never mind. Ms. Davis, anyone else on this?
Yes?
I was wondering if it's more like if we receive one of these gifts or a few of these gifts or all of these gifts. Like you've mentioned how you and Mrs. D have a lot of like words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Is this... basically like we don't just get like our special gift because it's the Holy Spirit. So how, like, does the Holy Spirit just give this gift at a time as he sees fit through an individual, so the gift could be any of these things at any time?
Correct. That is correct. I mean, it says it.
I was looking at it before we came down very specifically. Verse 11 of chapter 12, one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Let's get real about this stuff. This oh, what's your gift, and all of this other stuff just needs to simply stop. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You may be used more in some gifts than others. But look, we come together here at IMI, and we have meetings just about every day. And in those meetings, there is not necessarily any of the gifts that we just went through. They're not. There's not discerning of spirits probably going on, not necessarily a word of wisdom. But wait, you know, we ask you a question and wisdom is coming out. Yes, but often it's from stuff that has been studied and discerned and given before. It's not necessarily a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. It was something that was known from before. It could happen, and I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is not speaking through and empowering the whole meeting. But those particular gifts are not necessarily manifested in every meeting. It simply is not true. And Paul makes it clear, not everybody does this. Do all people do this? Is it always needed? It's supposed to be as he wills for the edification of the body. Yeah. And this is another place that the church that believes in these things, it's gone wrong. Instead of just teaching about it like we do here, like we've just done, and okay, here's the facts on it, then they go out and okay, we're going to go play it now. We're going to go practice. We're going to go... And it gets to be the seeking of the gift and leaving out what's the purpose in this. There's purpose in it. And that's why, in a big way, that's why we're having these discussions. Ms. Davis?
It's looking at it as that's our gift is no different than looking at the fruit of the Spirit, you know, because I've often heard, I'm supposed to be loving all of that. No, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit being manifested. And so it's no different with the gifts. It's saying, oh, that I can somehow produce that, and I can't produce that. It's not a work of the flesh. It's not something that I can do.
As
the Spirit sees there's a need here.
Yeah. Yeah. I know none of the gifts that we function in, whether it's wisdom,
discernment of spirits, word of knowledge, you don't walk in that all the time. I mean, it just doesn't squirt out of you all the time. Even discernment of spirits. And there may be, remember, Samuel. Samuel is looking at Hannah. I think it was, and he said, something going on there, but he said, but the Lord has hidden it from me. Was that who it was? Or somebody else? Where am I getting that? What? I mean, Eli. Eli, I'm sorry. Samuel. Sorry. Hey, Mom! why are you acting that way? No, Eli. Thank you, love. Eli, I'm not trying to rewrite the Bible. Charismatics. Eli, and he says, it's hidden from me. He couldn't see it. There are times, and there have been times in counseling sessions where you're going, man, something is hidden. Now, the Lord may be doing it, or the enemy may be doing it. And you have to be discerning on where it's coming from. Anyone else on this? Sir?
The answer to all this comes back to where you started at the beginning, that the Holy Spirit is God, there's it one, there's the one thing. We think of these gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's got this massive toy box and all these gifts in it, and he's got these fruits of the Spirit stuck in this refrigerator.
Bing.
And he's got the armor of God in this closet all hanging on the wall.
Sorry, I can't wear it today. It's been sent out to the cleaner.
Yeah. And it's,
I mean, really, don't we? I mean, he's telling the truth. We compartmentalize and do the stupid stuff with this. Go on.
And it's like, oh, God's got all this stuff. No, God is all this stuff. And he doesn't have all these gifts in this toy box waiting to hand you out. He's waiting for you to experience him.
Yeah.
And so it's not, obviously, he wouldn't have, he described it as gifts in the Bible. So whatever, he was communicating something there. But it's not, I've got this gift or you've got this gift. It's, and this may be incorrect, but I've, through this class, really come to think of the gifts as the Holy Spirit, not as each gift as an abstract idea. Okay, there's this abstract idea of this, and there's this abstract idea of that. But instead, that's what happens when the Spirit shows up. And
it's,
so
that's it.
It's not all this different stuff. It's just the Spirit's in you, and whatever the Spirit's going to do, he's going to do.
That's it.
And so you don't, and that's how you're describing.
And you don't resist it.
Don't resist it. And be in order and be listening to the word. But that's how, because you described sometimes things go together, like the gift of faith and the gift of healing. It's not that God took two different toys out of the toy box, smashed them, and took the parts and made something new. It's that he's the one doing it all, and he is at work. It's, you don't have to break it up into, okay, I've got these different ideas of these different gifts. It's whatever the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are not something God has. It's something that he's going to do in you with his Spirit. So it's, the gifts is just the Spirit at work.
Right. And we need to quit thinking about it in terms of, okay, here I go. I'm going to church on Sunday morning to see what the Holy Spirit's going to do today. No. I wake up in the morning to see what the Holy Spirit's going to do today. It doesn't have to be some, oh, we're going to some formalized meeting. I mean, I'm telling you, you think about it. The gift of prophecy is every day here, period. It's every day the gift of prophecy is used. That is simply being together and people speaking truth. We could probably say that almost all of the gifts, some form or fashion, with the exception of tongues and speaking in tongues, of those nine, wind up getting used on this campus, not on a daily basis, but fairly close to it. Honestly, it's true. And you guys are involved with it. It's simply, this is simply life in the Holy Spirit, and we turn it into, you know, no, it's not. It's life in the Holy Spirit. And you are available, and if he needs you to speak in tongues to somebody, then be available. If he needs you to pray in tongues for somebody, then be available. If he needs you to speak a word of wisdom, or he needs to tell you about something going on with somebody, so you will pray, discernment of spirits, word of knowledge, then be available. It's life in the Spirit. That's all. That's what it is. Joe, did you have your hand up?
I'm going to say, Elisha, when the woman came running to him.
Oh, that's right.
The servant.
Thank you.
He was like, is it well with you? And she's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she came to his feet, and she's like, he's like, no, servant. The Lord has not told, let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. And you just see the life of Elisha and how close of a walk he had with God, and just had the Holy Spirit flowing through him all the time. Not all the time, but just walking.
You better not be on the other side of it.
But just walking in it and just, but you see this time where, no, the Lord didn't tell him for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't because he wasn't keeping or he wasn't seeking God. It's just God didn't want him to have it at that time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and that's,
that speaks volumes in a lot of ways. That's only, like in counseling situations, happened a few times, but once or twice, really, where you're just going, my goodness, it's darkness. There are no answers. I mean, it's amazing. When people come,
We simply expect the Holy Spirit to give answers. And when people come for counseling and somebody comes and sits down, I say it to these guys all the time, okay, let's see what the Holy Spirit's going to say to you. It doesn't have anything to do with me. What's the Holy Spirit? But there are times, it happened, I don't know, a few months ago with someone, and I sat there and I went, for whatever reason, now, what would be a reason for it? God's trying to pull that person in closer to the Holy Spirit rather than leaning on Davis's or somebody. No, wait, I want to speak to them. I want them, it's time for them to get the training wheels off of the bike, and then they're supposed to ride now. It's time to grow up. Remember what a lot of this is about. What does it say in Ephesians? We read them the other night, to becoming a mature man. Mature. All right? Growing up into that. All aspects. All aspects. How does God want to use you today? Not in some formalized service. The body of Christ needs to be functioning like this on a daily basis. And we don't. Anyone else?
Sir, sorry.
I think kind of just as Dave was talking, it was kind of like, oh yeah, this is kind of the way we tend to think about it, is that the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit, we have a mindset of Gnostics, I believe, which is
no.
It's far out there and it's extraterrestrial and it's just weird, and which it can be, but at the same time, it's no, you know, it's just speaking truth, and it's not as weird and, you know, Star Trek-y or whatever.
Yeah, it's true. That's part of what we wanted to do with this is, what was it? Somebody, I think, said it last night, defanging the fear that we've got over this stuff. And other people have made it, the church, of course, somewhere involved in it, made it to where it's scary for us. And all sorts of demands they put on it. You have to speak in tongues, and et cetera. I had a case of a person, I've told you this one before, and Dr. Leggett, terrible, funny man. He had polio, and he walked with polio as a child, and had worked in Austin State Hospital for many, many years, and was a seminar alumni a number of times over, just one of the sweetest, kindest men. But anyway, I wound up having to, I had a person that was claiming schizophrenia was wrong with him, and I wound up calling his treating physician. His treating physician was a family practitioner, I don't know, internal medicine, I said, what's about this guy? And he said, well, the last time he was here, he was bouncing off the walls. And he said, he's really messed up. He said, religion can be really good for you. It was really funny. The next basic seminar, you know, between times, they would put, you know, we need to see so-and-so at this, and you know, and a doctor, somebody's trying to get a hold of you. There's that doctor, you know, that I had talked to on the phone or remembered his name. Oh. So he was there at the seminar too. So the guy was a believer, more than likely, I guess. And he said, religion can do really good things for people, bring them into peace, you know, and all this stuff. But there's another part of it. And boy, I mean, he kind of nailed it. He said, this poor guy already was really unstable. And he wound up at one of these churches that tells you if you don't speak in tongues, you're dying and going to hell. And the poor guy who's already, imagine what this is doing to somebody, he's not speaking in tongues. And, oh my goodness, I'm not saved. And he's already frightened. He was schizophrenic. And he's already got these you know, who knows what happened to him in the past. He's been broken down. Demons probably messing with him. And he couldn't speak in tongues. And so he was all messed up. And the doctor... I said, is he delusional or hallucinating? He said, yeah, his hallucination was, and it was around Easter time. He said he was hallucinating, and that
he would turn on his television, and no matter what channel he turned it to, this often happens with these people, they believe they're receiving messages and you know, it's all sorts of different things going on like this. No matter what channel he turned it to, and he's all torn up about this, I'm not speaking in tongues. See what religion had done. It had applied something to a beautiful gift of God, and this poor man is now all torn up in this. And no matter where he turned the television channel, he saw Jesus being crucified. It didn't matter where he turned it. That's what he saw. Now, that's pretty heavy-duty hallucination. And, of course, a lot of other things were going on with him, too. I took it to my friend Dr. Leggett, who's reading it. And the guy, what a terrible sense of humor he has. But he's leaned back and he says, no matter where he turns the television, he says, Jesus is getting crucified. He looked at me and he said, he needs to get the thing fixed. Come on, Doc. But what are you seeing? What did religion do to the Holy Spirit? Scared this guy and scared him so bad that now he's so messed up, he literally is having to be put, probably, I imagine he wound up having to be put pretty acutely, in a mental institution. He was a mess and was refusing treatment, of course, and just a mess. It certainly was probably demonized and all the other things that go along with it. Anyway, you're right. This is supposed to be simply the way we walk. This should not be what mankind and our religion has done to this. This is just wrong, which is one of the reasons that we're talking about it.